Today is World AIDS Day. AIDS has claimed more than 25 million lives since the epidemic began more than a quarter century ago. It's estimated that more than 33 million people are currently living with HIV. But a new report offers some hope. The number of new HIV infections has been dropping, according to the 2009 AIDS epidemic update from UNAIDS and the World Health Organization, and more people are accessing medical treatments earlier. In many countries in Africa, HIV/AIDS has gone from something of a death sentence to something people and entire communities are living with. For a broader look at the epidemic and what's being done to curb it, we've turned to Karen Stanecki. She's senior epidemiologist at the Joint United Nations Program on HIV/AIDS, and she joins us from Geneva. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, as we've discussed, it's kind of a good news, bad news story. A 17% decrease in the number of new infections in the last 8 years. In 2008, that still means an estimated 2.7 million people contracted the virus anew. But for that matter, an estimated 2 million people died from AIDS-related illnesses in 2008. So why the decline in the number of new infections? But why is the number of deaths still so high?
Well, we see this as evidence that the prevention programs are having an impact. We saw the most progress being made in sub-Saharan Africa, for example, where there were 400,000 fewer new infections in 2008 than in 2001. But we are also estimating there are declines in deaths. But as you say, we still had 2 million people who died of AIDS-related illnesses because there's not all people have access to treatment. In 2008, there were approximately 4 million people in low- and middle-income countries that had access to treatment, but that meant that there were still 5 million people in need who did not get access.
And that was going to be my next question. Is this a question of access? Is this primarily a question of cost? Is it a question of people knowing that they need to get treatment? I guess what I'm asking is, what's the primary factor here? Is it access? Is it cost? Is it knowledge?
There's six common obstacles. First, there's unaffordable medicines in some countries. It's interesting that in middle-income countries, the cost of drugs are more than they are in the lower-income countries. And during this economic decline, it's a little bit more difficult for people to get to pay for or to afford the medicines. And there's also insufficient and unpredictable funding for treatment and access to prevention programs. In some countries, it's the whole issue of stigma and discrimination against vulnerable populations. It's very difficult in some countries for, say, injecting drug users to have access to treatment. So there's a number of different reasons why we haven't quite made to universal access.
I did want to ask about the question of political will and, over the years in some countries, like South Africa, there's been a question of ambivalence on the part of leadership to recognize the scope of the epidemic. That seems to have changed in some places, but not in others. Where are you most concerned about now? What parts of the world are you most concerned about now?
Well, I think it varies from region to region, the issues, but in Latin America and in some of the Asian countries, it's difficult to have programs for men who have sex with men. It's a highly stigmatized subpopulation. In some countries, it's even illegal behaviors. And so what's critically important is for countries to understand where their new infections are occurring and to provide the prevention, the focus prevention programs, and the treatment services to those subpopulations. Because if we don't focus where the need is, we'll not have an impact on this epidemic.
And finally, are there things that people in sort of other parts of the world who are less heavily affected should be doing to support the end to this epidemic or to support further improvements in addressing this epidemic? I think generally our listeners want to know, what should I be doing? Is there something I can do?
Well, I think just the conversation is needed to lower the discrimination and the stigma. I think if people were just actively informing themselves and talking about the situation, it would go a long ways to reducing that stigma and discrimination.
Karen Stanecki is senior epidemiologist of the Joint United Nations Program on HIV/AIDS at UNAIDS, and she joined us from Geneva. I thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.